Well, the Occupy Wall Street protests are now spreading around the world. Is there anything good about these protests? Oh, and by the way, is the end of the world coming on October 21st?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I guess it's appropriate to say aloha as I'm coming your way live from Hawaii today. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. Next hour, as we pick up our listeners all over Hawaii, I'm going to give a few more details about the trip here. But since we've got folks listening in New York right now, including perhaps my mom, just to say that the gentleman who picked me up at the airport was from Harbor Isle and grew up one block from where I grew up. We were both in a state of shock, both saved out of similar drug background. So small world indeed. You travel like 14 hours to arrive here and get picked up by someone that hardly anyone's ever even heard of this place, even on Long Island, because it's a town within a town. Anyway, amazing. But I'll share more of that in the second hour. It is a delight to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. 866-348-7884 to weigh in on the web. Best way right now is go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. And I want to pose a question for you. The Occupy Wall Street protests, Occupy protests in general, protests against Wall Street, protests against corporate greed, protests against unemployment and so on. They are not just spreading all over America, they are spreading around the world. From what I can tell, from what I've read, from what I've observed, these are not good, these are not healthy, these are not positive, these are not productive, although I'm sure there's plenty of greed because human beings are involved in Wall Street, human beings are involved in corporate America, human beings are involved in the welfare system, human beings are involved in every aspect of society, so there's always going to be greed wherever you turn. But if you have a take on this, do you find anything productive, positive about these protests? Do you think there's anything valid to the points that are being made? Or do you feel that this is just another destructive thing or perhaps part of class warfare in our society today? Love to hear from you. Number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Your take on the Occupy protests, which are now spreading around the world and causing havoc in different major cities around the world, including London and Rome. Okay, before I get into that, a few other things I want to talk to you about. One of them is, you remember back in May that Harold Camping said that's it, the believers are going to be pulled out of the earth and the rapture is going to take place. And then the final end of the world, no ifs, ands, or buts, is October 21st. And whatever date he set, you know, I told you we'll be broadcasting the day after because it's not going to happen, and he's a false teacher, and he's misleading people. And the sad thing is there are many sincere people that were drawn to him because they thought he was really accurately studying Scripture, whereas what he was doing was putting his own bizarre interpretation on Scripture after Scripture after Scripture and separating from the body. Well, he's still around, which means there's still time for him to repent. But he's still around, and he said, well, this is it, though. This is the finale, October 21st. It's all over. October 21st is not going to be all over. The end of the world is not coming on October 21st, okay? Just mark it down and make your plans for October 22nd. Okay, none of us have a guarantee that we'll live another 30 seconds. But aside from that, the human race, the end of the world, it's not happening October 21st. And I want to appeal to everyone who's been following Mr. Camping. We're here to welcome you back into the fold or to welcome you into the fold. We're here to say you don't have to crash and burn. Jesus did not mislead you. The Bible did not mislead you. A false teacher misled you. Got a few more comments that are relevant and of interest. If you want to defend this position, phone lines are open to you. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I've had to convince myself that getting up at 6 in the morning here in Hawaii is actually noon back in the States and the East Coast, because I'm a late night person. Normally, if I had something at 6 in the morning, it's easier for me to try to stay up close to that as opposed to getting up at that time. Of course, don't have that luxury. But anyway, coming your way live. It's morning in beautiful Hawaii. The second hour, you can listen online if you don't get the second hour by radio. But I'll be talking a little bit about my arrival here, and got to do some sightseeing yesterday. A rare free afternoon in my schedule. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to be focusing on the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy protests that are taking place all over America and in different nations right now. Is this just class warfare? Is this just an attack on the rich? Is this just people wanting a handout? Is there anything good or positive about this, or are these the kind of things that we should stand against? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, before I get into that, before I take your calls, I just want to come back to this false teaching that the end of the world is coming in just a few days, that Harold Camping is still speaking. Now, thankfully, he's getting much, much, much less attention because he was completely discredited the last time around. In all candor, no one should have been listening to him for many, many years anyway. He should have been discredited long ago for date setting and false teaching. And if you listen to this broadcast a lot, you know I don't mention people by name and single out error unless it is really extreme, dangerous error like this. Well, Mr. Camping now said, well, this is it. October 21st is the end of the world. And I'm sure there are going to be people that die on October 21st because there are people that die every day. But aside from that, it is not going to be the end of the world. Make your plans, as long as God gives us breath individually, make your plans for October 22nd. Now, that being said, our missions director, Dr. Josh Peters, was preaching a week ago Sunday at Fire at our home community and made the statement, I think I've shared it on the air since. He said, I don't know if this is the last generation, but it's our last generation. And I was getting ready to go out Sunday to be driven around by some of the folks here from Salem Studios in Hawaii. I was going to be driven around different parts of the island just to see the beauty of the island here that we're on in Hawaii. And right before going out, I was checking my emails, and I saw two breaking news emails back-to-back came in on CNN. The first one said there's been a terrible car crash at the Indy 300 in Las Vegas, and 15 cars, terrible accident, and racer Dan Weldon has been airlifted out. Now, I don't follow this racing, but I'd heard that name, Dan Weldon, so it turns out he had won the Indianapolis 500 a couple of times and was one of the most loved drivers on the tour and married with two little kids. But when I read that and I saw it was immediately followed by another email, I thought, he's dead. He must have died of injuries. That's why the back-to-back news, and sure enough, that was the case. So drivers sobbing openly. Later in the day, I got to watch some of this online, and of course, it's very sad. And here he's 33 years old, married with two kids. It reminded me that life is transitory. If you live to be 90 years old, or 150 years old, or 20 years old, everyone is passing through this world, and all of us must be ready to meet God. I want to encourage you, forget this October 21st end of the world nonsense. Forget it. It's nonsense. It's nothing less than nonsense and false teaching and error, not based on a single scriptural truth. Can I say that again? It is not based on a single scriptural truth. It is based on misinterpretation of scripture. It is based on misreading of the Bible and nothing less than that. And someone's personal system being imposed on the word of God to the destruction and hurt of many, because people will lose faith entirely and will not believe the Bible because of the false teaching of a single man. But what is sure is that every one of us is passing through this world, and we will stand before God and give account. And if we try to say, I've been a decent person, when we stand in the light of the holiness and the perfection and the beauty and the glory and the wonder of God, we will realize that we are hopelessly lost, which is why Jesus came and died for us. So I want to appeal to each of you listening. If you're not in right relationship with God, if you do not know God in a personal way, if God is not your Father, if you've not been saved from your sin, can I just urge you at your earliest opportunity to get alone with God and to confess your sin to Him and to ask Him to forgive you and wash you clean and put your faith in what Jesus did. He took what we deserve. He was publicly crucified to take on His shoulders the guilt of the world, the sin of the world, so that God could say, I condemn sin, but I forgive you. At the same time, justice and mercy all rolled in together as one. And of course, you think of the Weldon family, the wife and two little kids. The kids will grow up without a father. What were they, 2 years old and 6 months old? Everyone knows in race car driving the potential danger. But it's a time to pray, God, awaken those in this community. Awaken them so their hearts are turned to you at a time of tragedy and pain like this. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. We're going to talk about the Occupy protests. I'm going to share some of the online comments of those who've weighed in. Bill Muhlenberg is a colleague in Australia. We've not met, but we've exchanged emails, and he wrote a very gracious, lengthy review of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I wrote a foreword for his book on strained relations about homosexuality focused in Australia. And this is what he says. He was just in the States. His dad had died, and he was in the States for the funeral. And he said, Occupy and destroy. This is his article. The Occupy Wall Street movement is now spreading out of New York and overseas. I witnessed some of it firsthand while just recently in America. I already wrote about the foolishness being promoted by these protesters and how, as usual, they have gotten things wrong big time. And another piece I stated is, I was walking through Madison, Wisconsin today, a college town known for its radicalism. There were a group of these occupiers there with all their confusing and meaningless signs. One of the demonstrators proudly held up a sign with these words, Down with greed. This encapsulates perfectly what is wrong with left-wing ideology. It reflects precisely the typical moral and mental meltdown of the secular left. They are somehow convinced that people out there, capitalists, bankers, etc., are drowning in greed while they are somehow pristine bastions of altruism and charity. That's an interesting comment. In other words, the people who are denouncing greed are just as greedy as anybody else. They may just not have the money behind them. They may not have the opportunity to express their greed, but if they're saying you shouldn't have your riches and I should have some of this money, isn't that greed? Well, no, we're just trying to pay their bills. Well, I don't know that everybody out there or the majority of the people out there are just trying to pay their bills. And I think a lot of people are just trying to pay their bills. Now, look, I am no expert on the protests. I'm simply sharing an article by a respected colleague. I'm following the news here, and I'm trying to look at this, as always, from a kingdom perspective. I'm completely happy to be on the side of those that oppose the status quo. In fact, I relate to that. I'm completely happy to be on the side of those that confront greed. You don't hear me on this show promoting capitalism every day, and it's all about capitalism and Jesus the capitalist. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. So I have no problem, as long as people are not breaking the law, and as long as they're not espousing violence, which some of them are. We absolutely denounce violence to secure our political or moral or spiritual goals. Always have, of course. But so I've got no problem saying, okay, they could be doing good. I just don't know what it is. And then I've seen some indications that there's anti-Semitism in the midst of the protesters, communist and Nazi parties endorsing the protests. So those things, of course, raise further concerns. But is there some good? Is there something positive that could come out of this? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start with our friend Viviana in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello there.
Hello.
I was so excited when you said that you were going to focus on this. Chaplain Desiree and I went down to the area to Occupy Wall Street on Friday to do prayer walking. And one of the things that we saw is that there were two levels, as a matter of fact, three, that is happening on the ground. There's the public face, where people that are genuinely disenfranchised or those that want to capitalize on other people being disenfranchised, losing jobs, not being able to take care of their college loans, things like that, they were there. And there was another level of people that were hypocritical, people with iPhones, people that were just coming in for the experience, and others that are using the people's bad lot or wanting to capitalize on this to promote socialism. On Thursday,
I tell you what, stay here. We'll come back with your comments on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're talking about the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy protests in general, which are in different parts of America and are spreading overseas as well. And I would say that the conservative side is painting this in a negative light. The liberal side is painting this in a positive light. I'm wondering what our perspective should be as followers of Jesus. Is this a prophetic protest against greed? Is this a prophetic protest about corporate America sapping the money from the poor and the needy? Or is this quite the contrary? Is this class warfare? Is this people that aren't willing to work hard and improve themselves, just criticizing those who have worked hard to improve themselves? 866-34-TRUTH. Interesting. I haven't touched on this except for a passing comment thus far last week. And it's just interesting to see the phone lines lit up. So stay with us. I want to get to all of your calls. So if you'll be patient, we'll hear from as many of you as we possibly can. All right, so back to Viviana in Brooklyn. You were concluding your take on what's happening in these protests.
Well, Thursday, my husband and I walked by because I felt the Lord, you know, wanted me to see what was there in the spiritual as well. There was a socialist flag with hammer and sickle, and Michael, by Friday, it was gone, along with all the socialist paraphernalia, because they're starting to be uncovered. Diana L. Taylor, the girlfriend of Mayor Bloomberg, is on the board of Brookfield Management, and they have just received a $135 million loan guarantee from the Department of Energy for one of their business ventures. Now, all of a sudden, Bloomberg and his girlfriend being united, they averted getting these people off. It's an experimentation of lawlessness, and I believe that Mayor Bloomberg has other aspirations in terms of, if I can control this, if I can, you know, give them their freedom of speech and then help people that are trying to decimate this nation, because it started with the Day of Rage, which was the goal was to destroy our capitalist system. Because if you want a one-world government, Michael, you can't have a strong America.
If you
want a one-world government, you can't have people independent and having money that they can fight the people that are doing that. So they want health care universal. But how are we going to pay for it?
Right. Those are questions.
It's not realistic.
All right. Listen, let me hear from a few other callers.
Sure.
But thank
God
you,
bless
as always,
you.
For weighing in firsthand, especially as a New York observer. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Mike in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Wall Street situation, the Occupy Wall Street. I want to make a couple points.
Please.
First, I want to acknowledge that, you know, we all are fallen, and so no matter which side of the fence we're on, you know, we have to pray, sinful, know, humanistic, selfish, prone nature.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no righteous right or left or whatever. But not to excuse anybody's actions at the same time, I believe that it's awful suspect that you have the president getting up and pushing his Jobs Act and all this, shouting about the 10% that the corporate America, you know, make them wealthy pay and how they need to be taxed. And then coinciding with that, we have the Occupy Wall Street and the amount of media attention it's getting, whereas it's not nearly as big of a movement as the Tea Party movement, and yet that doesn't seem to get the same coverage. So,
yeah, it's unless it's just getting bashed or accused of being racist or something like that.
So just as a neutral observer, you can see the bias there, and that ought to, you know, if things are genuinely truthful and open and honest, then you're not going to have these deliberate biases in it. So that right there ought to point, you know, put it in some perspective as to you know, the direction it's going.
Right, and then there are the questions of how much of this is, you know, provoked by a George Soros who's stands against so many of the values that many of our listeners would stand for. But yeah, Mike, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me see if I can get to one more call here. Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I'm real concerned. I think it's something that we need to pay attention to. You know, obviously, as American citizens, we have the right to protest and peaceful protest. Obviously, the people are feeling that the government is not addressing their concerns. I think they're misguided. You know, I think the public has a short memory. They have forgotten, really, that it's not the banks that have done the damage to this country. It's actually the government forcing the banks to loosen up their lending standards to accommodate more people. So it was kind of a chain reaction. And but I'm concerned with the abuses that may, in fact, may come from a number of the police members. We just need to watch our government, how it treats people that are protesting peacefully, and not to abuse them. And I've noticed quite a few abuses that are not being talked about here or there, but it's of concern because, you know, these people are practicing a right that they have within this country.
Well, you know, let me just say this. Obviously, abuses always need to be exposed and watched. And of course, I agree with your larger comments here. What I would say, though, is that number one, there's such a spotlight on this that if there are abuses, I think someone's going to get it. Get it on their phone, put it on YouTube, something like that. Some news outlet's going to pick it up. And then there are some, and I've actually listened to the quotes online. I mean, I've listened to the speeches. There are some that are calling for violent resistance against the government, against the authorities. So when you have that kind of rhetoric, sometimes it makes things all the more unfortunate in terms of what could come out of it. But thank you for weighing in. All right, going to get to some more calls. a call also about the end of the world coming on October 21st. So stay with us. Friends, we got such a good response to this last week. I want to continue this week, but with a slightly different twist. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you don't have it yet, everyone that I've talked to that's reading the book or has read the book is shocked by it. Their eyes are open. They had no idea of so much that was going on. They feel the book is essential reading for everyone in this country. So if you don't have your copy yet, we've reduced the price on it. I want to sign it for you or as a gift for someone else. But with it this week, another gift for $18 we want to add in free, my debate with Rabbi Shmuley, America's most famous rabbi, on the question, is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? Shmuley thought it was our best debate. Very intense debate, very eye-opening. All these resources together, which is like $45 plus postage normally, just for $25, and we'll pay the postage. But call now to order it, 1-800-278-9978. That's my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, signed for you, as well as The Debate with Shmuley, 1-800-278-9978, or order online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire. Aloha, coming your way live from Honolulu today. And the KGU studios will be greeting our Hawaii listeners in the next hour. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about the Occupy Wall Street protests, the Occupy protests that are spreading across America and across the world as well, especially into the European nations. Is there anything good that can come out of these? Or is there anything good about them? Or should we look at these with suspicion? Should we look at these as counterproductive, as part of class warfare, as something destructive in our society, as a symptom of people just wanting handouts from the government? Or could this be in any way, even if it's secular people, a prophetic protest against corporate greed in our country? 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I began the show, though, just letting everyone know that you can safely ignore Harold Camping's final prediction, and I hope it's his final prediction for his sake, as well as the sake of his followers, that the world will end on October 21st. So if you didn't hear my comments about that, I just said ignore it. It's based on complete misinterpretation of Scripture. And if you are one that has followed him, put your trust in Jesus and the Word. A man has misled you. He will be exposed for the final time as a false prophet in a few days. He has misled you. Go back to Scripture. Get yourself involved with a local fellowship and ask the Lord to help get to the root of the problems and issues in your own life that caused you to believe in error. Because I started the show with that, I do want to take one call on this before we get back to the Occupy Wall Street protests, all right? Also, I just posted an important article about Mormonism. I think the first article I've written on Mormonism. Tell you more about that in a moment. Rudy in the Bronx, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi. I was listening. Hello. I've been listening since your show started. I never heard you before. But you mentioned that guy Camping, Harold
Camping.
Yes, sir. Now, I remember hearing him about 32, 33 years ago. Back then, one of his beliefs was people who didn't make heaven wound up in hell forever. I've been wondering about not only him. Prior to that, I grew up as a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been in the church since 65. When I was in school, I would ask them, you know, would they do this Bible study. If God is merciful and love, I always thought of him as just sadomasochistic, I'd be honest with you.
Yeah, I understand how someone could have that view, torturing people forever.
To me, the Bible was summed up in Genesis and Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis, Adam and Eve were kicked out before they took the tree of life. And then in Revelation, there's the second death. So to me, if you don't make heaven, that's it. You're finished like you never was.
Right.
Now, do you believe that? I'm just curious, because most people want you to suffer forever.
Yeah, well, Rudy, let me say this. First, thank you for listening. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening on a regular basis. A few thoughts. Jesus warned a lot about hellfire and punishment of the world to come. He spoke about that, as many have observed, more than he spoke about heaven. In fact, he spoke about that more than anyone else in the Bible. So for sure, the punishment that awaits those who reject him and reject God's love and mercy is dreadful. The question is the nature of that penalty.
Right.
And I don't know anyone that takes, I don't know anyone personally that takes delight in the idea of someone suffering forever. Oh, isn't that going to be great? In fact, if we could change one thing we believe, we'd probably change that. So I want to tell you how I approach that. Stay on the line, Rudy. This is an important question. It's a little off topic, but important. So stay with us, and I'll finish on the other side of the break and then get back to Occupy Wall Street. Stay with us. We'll take your calls.
Oh, It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so back to Rudy in the Bronx, as we've just deviated from our main subject a little, but it's worth deviating from. Does the New Testament explicitly teach eternal punishing, or does it teach a punishment with eternal consequences? When it speaks of the fire, does that fire consume and devour, or does that fire torment forever? There's actually a debate among believers about this, Rudy. In other words, even within the church, the believing church, people have debated this. For those that argue that there is eternal burning fire and people will be conscious forever and ever and ever, if they truly believe that, they need to spend almost every waking moment they have warning people and sharing the gospel. Otherwise, we're being hypocritical. We're believing something that dreadful, and we're living as if football or the stock market or the carpet stain is more important, you know, than eternal souls. On the other hand, those that say that the only punishment awaiting us is annihilation need to make sure that you don't cease to evangelize and tell other people the good news. So what's clear to me, Rudy, from the Bible is this, that if we reject Jesus, the consequences are irreversible, and there will be eternal consequences, whether it means being destroyed from the presence of God, as you say, as if we never were, and then we will not benefit from eternal life, and we will not enter into his kingdom, and those that do know him will be with him forever and ever, or there will be eternal conscious suffering. Either way, it's an eternal punishment.
Well, and I guess I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're beating around the bush, but it's not a discreet answer. What I'm asking you is, I'm a human, and if I have an enemy, and I can make that enemy suffer, I might make it for a day, for a trillion years, but sooner or later, I think I would just get tired of it, destroy that enemy, or forgive him.
Right.
I'm just a human. I'm not God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
I remember having a discussion with a bum in a park in New York City, and he was drunk, and he raised that same issue to me. He said, you know, even your worst enemy, you let him out at a certain point. You know, the question would be, what if that person continues to sin? In other words, what if while being punished for sin, that person continues to sin and sin and sin and sin and sin, and is sinning against a perfect God?
Judgment
go on forever and ever and ever. But this much is clear, Rudy. And you're right, I'm not beating around the bush, because I believe even Francis Chan, for example, in his excellent book, Erasing Hell, where he really deals in a fearful way about hell, says that there is a fair discussion as to the nature of the punishment. In other words, is it forever and ever, or is it destruction at some point in time? But what I think we need to do, Rudy, is this. We need to trust God's goodness and his love, right? In other words, he is who he is regardless of what I believe. I could believe he's good or he's bad, but he is who he is. And that's what I need to focus
on.
If
it's true that he's good, you say, or he's not good, then really what the bottom line is, this is coercion. The gift of life.
No, it's not. It's a warning. There are warnings about the consequences.
Take it this way, or the consequences of this eternal
life.
But
here's the fact, though. There are consequences. In other words, God did create us. We didn't create ourselves. And we are accountable to him.
Yeah, I understand that.
And there are consequences. And one road leads to death. One road leads to life. So, you know, he's putting up a stop sign saying, don't go this way. Go this way. And then he's getting involved in our world on a deep enough level to say he's going to suffer, you know, through Jesus, rather than just let us go down the wrong path. So, Rudy, I think the biggest thing is for you to make sure that you've trusted yourself to his goodness and that you're able to say, God, whatever you do, I know is going to be right and fair. And that's what I had to do in my own life with people that I love dying that weren't believers, to say, okay, I have to just trust that my loving Heavenly Father, who's so gracious and long-suffering and compassionate, is going to do the right thing with all of those people. And I trust him to do that.
But that's not that's a gamble.
No, it's not a gamble. No, listen, I know there's judgment. But if someone has gone from this world, Rudy, and I can't do anything about it,
I understand that.
I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I'm going to trust God.
You should be able to understand God with your mind, is what I'm saying. We have minds.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything
we
else
have
mind,
but here, we all agree on this, all right?
We can't question, and then we should know the answer. Otherwise, how can you be responsible? And how could it not be coercion if it's where you...
Let me just repeat this, I do need to get to some other calls just because of the topic we announced. But I'd love to talk with you further. So let me just say two things to you, okay, Rudy? Just two last things. Number one, there's no question there is judgment, all right? And we must warn people about that. That's not coercion to me. It's just like telling someone, okay, you break this law, here are the consequences. And someone could spend the rest of their life in prison, okay? Or someone could be executed for crimes they commit. Or on the other hand, there are certain things we do to our bodies, and we could destroy our bodies or destroy our minds through certain abusive behaviors. So to warn people, Rudy, about the consequences is not coercion. That is ultimately love. As far as your own life, you need to be sure that you're in right relationship with the Lord, that your sins have been forgiven through what Jesus did. I mean, if anything's not fair, it's that he died for us, but that's God's love for us, knowing that there is something dreadful if we reject him. Okay, Scripture's clear on that. And whether it makes sense to you or not, whether it's forever and ever in terms of conscience or forever in terms of the consequences, as you say, personally, be as if they never were, that's an eternal consequence. Either way, the word warns us to flee from judgment and to run to God's mercy. But listen, I would love to talk to you more. Maybe on a Friday is a good day to call and discuss these things further. The biggest thing is be in right relationship with God yourself. But thank you, sir, for calling in and reminding us of these eternal issues. Okay, back to Occupy Wall Street. But again, a call of that consequence, if someone wanted to talk about those issues, that is very important. So, Rudy, keep listening. Thank you, sir, for tuning in. If my subject was on just these issues of eternal punishment and the nature of the punishment to come, etc., I would gladly take even more time to focus on that on the air. All right, back to Occupy Wall Street. Susan in New York City, close to the events. Love to hear your take.
Yes, hello, Dr. Brown. I actually live across the street, and I see I live by the United Parcel Station, and they're getting 450 boxes every day. They're overwhelmed of supplies. And these boxes are coming from an organization, which is ultimately, like you mentioned, George Soros, funded by George Soros. And the government does have their hands on keeping this going. But coming from a more of a religious point of view, not religious, but coming from as a born-again believer, I went down there and I was talking to some of the people, and I was trying to speak to them about God and handing out literature. And actually, I was told I was not allowed to hand out my literature, which I found appalling. And the young people down there, they criticized me. They scoffed at me. I'm older than all of them. Most of them, anyway. They were making fun of Jesus. And when I was down there, a movie star came down, and also Russell Simmons was down there. And they line up, like this woman said earlier, with their iPhones to have pictures taken with these celebrities.
Right.
But yet, when I tried to speak to them about prayer, pray to God for peace, because they're fighting, they say they're fighting against war. They have no belief system. They're atheists, really, and they mock God. And I feel, when I was down there, I feel like it has the hand of Satan all over it. And I think this is very destructive. It's not really going to affect the extremely wealthy. And if they were serious about what they're doing, Goldman Sachs World Headquarters is two blocks from where they're protesting, and they haven't gone near there because they've been told, don't dare go down there. But they see, like, the really wealthy celebrities and athletes, they see them as their gods, and they're...
Yeah, and, you know, just to jump in, it's such a strange thing, though, for celebrities to be down there showing solidarity. If anything, should you say, well, what do you do with all your money? I mean, you got your gold chains on, you know, one rapper down, you know, and says, if they're protesting greed... Well,
right.
Is anyone more greedy than our top athletes and our top celebrities? And And as any of us would be, if we were not really in intimate relationship with the Lord and able to make tens of millions of dollars, you better believe we're going to be spending tens of millions of dollars and getting better cars. All of us would do that unless we were really connected, connected clearly to the Lord. So, hey, Susan, thank you for weighing in. And again, I'm going to take some calls on those who have a different take on this. So stay with us. We'll come to that on the other side of the break. Bottom line is, and to go back to something that Rudy asked about, we are passing through this world, and we'll either be with God forever or not. The most important thing is to know Him in this world so that you can then walk with Him in the world to come. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just a little bit more from Bill Muhlenberg's observations from Australia, but while in the States, from his Culture Watch website. He says this, "This has always been the fatal weakness of leftist analysis. Marx thought that the bad guys were the owners of the means of production while the good guys were the poor exploited workers. But this assessment is far too superficial and inadequate. Evil is not in certain classes of people, the bosses, etc., but in the human heart. Sin affects every single one of us, and so too does greed. The guys holding their signs trying to shut down Wall Street and other places with all their corporate gadgets, fancy sneakers, iPads, smartphones, etc., somehow think they are immune from greed and other evils. But they are as full of it as anyone else," meaning greed. "We all are. That is because we are all selfish and sinful and in need of a savior. But the lefty radicals think that if we can destroy American corporations and banking and finance systems, we can see heaven come down to earth. These guys are dreaming. But the radical revolutionaries continue to war against the very things which have allowed them to live the good life in the first place. Such misguided and deluded activism is not just a product of America. It is a sad but fixed part of the Western world." That's what Bill Muhlenberg had to say on his website. Okay, back to the phones. Brent in Gresham, Oregon, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this subject. I spoke to you a few subjects ago and asked for you to get on this, and you have, and I'm very happy to hear that. What's kind of ironic, and I see as hypocritical, is this... this attitude that these people are just a bunch of mob, people that don't have a central message or anything like that. But when you saw the Tea Party activists and just a few hundred of those get together, the mainstream media got all over that and was pronouncing them as, just Americans that want the fairness and want to stop the corporate greed. And it's the same message. And now you've got a bunch of people that are considered leftist and doing the same thing. And now they're just a bunch of mob people who don't have any message and don't have an idea of what they're protesting against. I think that's ridiculous.
Let me ask this, Brent.
Portland, and I was down there and all walks of life, all groups of people, Christians, non-Christians, all types of people that are just down there to send a central message that this corporate greed has got to stop.
All right, so Brent, just to jump in, I want to say a couple things on this. All right, number one, it's all depending on which media you listen to, because if you listen to the liberal media, the Tea Party, it's a bunch of racists and anarchists and completely destructive. If you listen to conservative media, they're going to be down on the Occupy protests. I haven't heard clear messages for the most part. And the protests against corporate greed, again, my problem with that is not that there's no corporate greed, but there's personal greed. There's personal greed from the protesters, which I don't see as any different than, quote, corporate greed. It's just that some people have done better than others. And to me, this ends up being just with a redistribution of wealth and take from the rich and give to the poor mentality. Again, I'm just giving my opinion on this. This is not a hill I'm going to die on, okay? I'm just giving my opinion. But obviously, others have other takes on it. So thank you for sharing a different perspective. I appreciate it. Just a little short on time. That's why I'm trying to, trying to run here. Let me just see. Let me grab one more call. Do I have time? Maybe I have time for two more calls. Let's see. Maria in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
Oh, good. I noticed that you're very good insight in pointing out the revolution that these people who are lost in the world are now, they're having this revolution. And I noticed that you talked about the greed, and you talk about also like homosexual marriages. I noticed you're very good insight into how what the world is pointing the finger at the world. And I noticed that you belong to a church in Times Square where one land deal made $30 million. And there was
Marie, can I just ask you one question?
No, let me finish.
Do you know where I live?
No. I'm just saying, no, not you. I'm just saying you were there at this church that made a land deal for $30 million. And a woman in the church for about 10 years had five children, and the church stopped the food.
Wait.
No, let me finish. You're talking
hang
about
on,
corporate
hang
greed.
Hang on. I believe I got a similar call before, okay? If you're going to launch an attack on the Compassionate Ministries of Times Square Church in New York City and their heart for the poor and the hurting, you're going to have to call someone else because I'm not sympathetic to that. If you have a legitimate grievance, you put it in writing, and I'll share it with my friends there. But that is a church that gives. That is a church that serves the poor, as many, many churches do in New York. All right, I've got time for one more call. Ernie in Queens, we're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hello?
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, all right. My thing is, like, I mean, I'm totally against it, but you get people who go out there and preach the prosperity gospel. Now, why are these people complaining? These people are prosperous.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me just say this, Ernie. In terms of a carnal prosperity message, I'm totally with you. That is using the cross, I should say misusing the cross and misusing the Bible to appeal to personal greed. It's one thing to say God is gracious and meets our needs and helps us to meet the needs of a hurting, dying world. It is another thing to say Jesus died to make us rich, and that is then just preaching carnality to carnal people and saying, you know, believe God for this car, for this item, for that item, as opposed to saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, yeah, we preach greed in the church, Ernie. I agree with it, and that's a problem. And normally the ones that really get rich off it are the very, 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 very few who have a big enough ministry to solicit enough money to build their own personal greed drink. Maybe it's a little, well, God knows. God knows the hearts. But there's a whole lot of money that comes into a handful of people sometimes in the name of prosperity. And that is always a reason for serious concern. Hey, you know this is a kingdom-oriented program, so I'm going to encourage you to search your own heart in a moment. And so we can turn the focus on each of our own lives. I just wrote an article, Do Mormons Believe That Christianity is a Cult? You need to read it. You can read it on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on Voice of Revolution. All right? Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? I encourage you to take a read there. I'll be talking about that in the next hour. You can listen to that online. And special offer, and this is anyone that knows us knows that what we do is about ministry. And if you checked out the salaries that all of us made, me at the top of the list, all of us in our organization, you'd think we need to support these guys more because this is not about us getting rich. This is about getting the gospel out. So our resource offers are designed to bless you and help us pay our bills. So get a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. We'll sign it for you or for a friend, along with my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality. That's be a super eye-opening debate. The two together, just $25 postage paid. So that'll save you over $20 right there. But call today to order at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, we can point out the hypocrisy of many of the protesters. We can point out the hypocrisy of many of those in government and corporate America. We can talk about greed, but how about searching our own hearts and asking, are we living in the light of eternity? Well, there's been a lot of talk about Mormonism in recent days, and the question is Mormonism a cult? Well, I have a question for Mormons. Do you consider Christianity to be a cult?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Yes, aloha. Aloha from Hawaii, coming your way live from the KGU studios right here on your beautiful island, this beautiful state of America here. My joy to be coming your way live. I've got an update for you. My arrival in Hawaii and even the sandals that I am wearing. So I'm going to give you a personal update in a moment, but Our topic that we want to focus on is this. There has been a lot of discussion about Mormonism with Mitt Romney, especially John Huntsman as well, but Mitt Romney as one of the front-running Republican candidates for president. And the question with the evangelicals, other Christians believe that Mormonism is a cult or that Mormonism is heretical, the Church of Latter-day Saints is unbiblical and heretical, or are we all just fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus? Is it bigotry to speak of Mormons as a cult or as non-mainstream Christians? So there's been discussion. We even did a show last week. Would you vote for a Mormon to be president? Here's the question I want to ask, and I saved it for this hour because we have many, many listeners who are Mormons in Utah as we broadcast from Salt Lake City and blanket much of the state. We have Mormon listeners in other parts of the country, and we have those who came out of Mormonism that now identify as born-again Christians. So here's my question to Mormons listening in particular, to those who've studied Mormonism, to those who have come out of the LDS church. Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? Do Mormons believe that Christianity is theologically aberrant? Let's talk about born-again evangelical Christianity. Do Mormons believe this is theologically aberrant? Do Mormons believe this is a cult? I just wrote an article on that, posted on our website, so go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Voice of Revolution, and you'll be able to read that article. Okay, first, my trip to Hawaii. So the first leg over Phoenix is like 4-something-hour flight. I was upgraded for that comfortable flight in first class because I fly so much, you know, free upgrades and things. And then like a 3-hour layover I had in Phoenix. And then I had an exit row, wasn't able to get upgraded on the leg, which is 6-something hours from Phoenix to Honolulu. So I sit down next to a guy, and there are three of us in the exit row. And There's one guy who is 6'4". He's got the window seat. Another guy who's 6'1", but real wide. He's in the middle. And then me, 6'3", and decently wide. So we're kind of laughing that we're squeezed in here. And the guy mentions to me, in the middle seat, he said, you know, my wife planned this trip out 2 years in advance. I don't know how she did it. She planned it out, and this was a total surprise. I didn't know about it. She's sitting up there a few rows up, and it was just, you know, not in an exit row. She didn't have as much leg room, just an aisle seat. And I said, do you want to sit next to your wife on the flight? Now, remember, I specifically at the exit row to have leg room. And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, well, look, man, I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. How could I not switch seats and give it to your wife? And he goes, well, I'm a minister of the gospel, too. I said, well, praise God, man. That's God's way of smiling on you. So anyway, had my seat. Everything was fine, 6-something hours. I arrived. So now it's getting close to midnight stateside time when I get in, wait for my baggage, and my luggage didn't arrive. Oh, but it gets really good. It gets really good. An amazing connection once I arrived. I'll tell you about that and then get to the question about Mormonism when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, this is really interesting. Where I'm sitting now in the KGU studios in Hawaii, what is it, like 9 hours from now? A little over 9 hours from now. I'll be meeting with some of you, listeners to the broadcast here. We'll have a small, intimate meeting. We're not going to have hundreds and hundreds of people here tonight. So it's by design. We'll be in the studios here, get to meet you face-to-face. But there's room for everybody. So please do come. Bring your friends if you listen to us on KGU. Or if you haven't listened until just now and you've read my books or gone to our website, please join us. That's why I'm here. And then tomorrow night, pastors and leaders, if you haven't signed up, I hope there's still time for you to get in for the pastors' meeting tomorrow night. I believe you'll be encouraged by the message that God has laid on my heart. Okay, so 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. What do Mormons believe about the rest of the church? If you're a Mormon, do you believe that those who are not baptized into the Mormon church, those who reject the Book of Mormon, but who are born-again Christians, that they are your brothers and sisters? Or do you believe that what would be called the mainstream or evangelical church, and I'm part of, so I'm not even talking about, say, Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, you know, their expressions now, just talking about what I'm part of, evangelical born-again, quote, Christianity, the Messianic faith. Do you embrace us as fellow brothers and sisters? If you came out of Mormonism, what's your take on this? Or do Mormons look at Christianity as if it is a cult? So I'm going to come back to that, share some of the article that I wrote, share some of the quotes that I have in this article. But back to my arrival in Hawaii. So it's quite a while. It's maybe almost an hour since I've landed because I've got to wait for all the luggage to come in, and mine hasn't made it, and somehow it was shipped wrongly or put on the plane, wrong plane in Charlotte, got messed up right there. It was no fault of Hawaii. So everyone, sigh of relief there. So I get picked up by a gentleman. I didn't know if he was Hawaiian, just knew the name, but I didn't know what to expect. So he picks me up and figured now, even though it's well past midnight stateside time, I've got to go out and do some shopping because I need clothes for tomorrow. The luggage is not arriving until the afternoon. I've got to get toiletries. I've got to get clothes for the next day and stuff. And so we're going to drive, and he says, boy, you look so familiar. You really remind me of some friends I knew growing up. And we start to talk. Where'd you go? Oh, New York. Oh, South Shore, Long Island. South. Yeah, really? I said, well, where? I start pressing because I'm from South Shore, Long Island. I'm born in Manhattan, but raised in Long Island. And we're talking some more, well, you know, little town, Island Park. Yeah, Harbor Island. Harbor Island, are you kidding me? This guy grew up literally around the block from me. Literally around the block. In a community of maybe 300 families, and that's it. I mean, it is really, really small. And unless you grew up right around there, you never even heard of it. You just heard of the town that was a little bit larger with a few thousand people, which was Island Park. We didn't have our own zip code. It was this tiny little island. And anyway, we were in a state of shock. You got to be kidding me. You're picking me up here in Honolulu, and you grew up a block from me? And it turns out he got saved out of a heavy drug background, just like I did. Turns out that I went to school with his sister, his younger sister. He was just a couple years behind my older sister in another high school. And so, I mean, we were just like, oh, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. It would be one thing if I got picked up in New Jersey by someone that was from Harbor Isle, you know. So we were in a state of shock and marveling. Well, as we kept talking, went over to a Macy's and went over to the mall there, got something to eat, even though it's past midnight. And I was like, well, whatever, we've been traveling. I'm a little hungry. So we got a bite to eat at the mall. And then we went over to Macy's. And Lori, if you're listening, I told you I'd mention you. Boy, she took care of us. We went head to toe on everything we needed from part of the store to part of the store. We got the whole wardrobe so I'd have my nice shorts and shirt, Hawaiian shirt for a free day, a rare free day, a sightseeing day in Hawaii yesterday, just driving around the coast and seeing the extraordinary beauty that God has put here. And listen, I now, and of course I get reimbursed from the airline because it was their mistake with the bag, and I'm top of the line flyer, you know, so they're going to take proper care. But I was conscientious. We got good deals on, we got nice stuff, but able to get coupon discounts on everything. And I now own maybe for the first time in my life, but certainly present, the only time I own a pair of nice sandals. Yeah. So, isn't this, and I'm wearing them right now. This is kind of cool. I mean, this is, I know some of you are just saying, wow, Mike, I mean, we knew it was going to be a good show today, but we didn't know it was going to be this good. So anyway, at the end of the day, you know, so now it's getting close to 3 a.m. my time, which is my normal bedtime anyway. We still have to go to the hotel, check in, the whole bit. And I kept wanting to bring up two different times I was going to quote Leonard Ravenhill, who I got very close to the last 5 years of his life, extraordinary champion of revival, man of prayer. His book, Why Revival Tarries, has been a classic for decades. Twice I was about to quote Leonard Ravenhill to David, who picked me up at the airport, and I thought, it's not really relevant. He probably doesn't know who Ravenhill is. Then he brings up Ravenhill to me. He's reading this book, and the men in this church are reading this book, and it's this amazing book. And Ravenhill said, do I know him? I said, are you kidding me? I had the privilege of being really close to him the last 5 years of his life and talked about the impact he had on my life and the brokenness that he had, the incredible intercessor that he was, and his love for Jesus, and how he preached sometimes and couldn't even finish his message because people would just be on their faces weeping and wailing and repenting and turning to God. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And right next to me in the little pocket by the door of the driver's, the passenger seat, there's Why Revival Tarries. He's reading this book. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he was a key man in my own life, and we connected so deeply. And we were just amazed from Harbor Isle, picked up in Honolulu, and then the Ravenhill connection. And anyway, so I am enjoying the beauty of the island. I am enjoying the new sandals, and I'll probably wear my new Hawaiian shirt to the meeting tonight here in Hawaii. How is that? I mean, is that cool or what? Now, having spent the first hour talking about the Occupy Wall Street protests, having talked about the final false prophecy of Harold Camping that Jesus will be returning October 21st, and then the reminder to all of us that life is short, even though Harold Camping is wrong, and the tragedy that happened at the IndyCar race in Las Vegas with the death of one of the best-known and most beloved drivers in the circuit, reminder of the sobriety with which we have to live in this world. We completely changed topics to the topic of Mormonism. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. How do Mormons view the rest of the church? How do Mormons say, hey, we're all brothers and sisters, and we have some light in some areas that you don't have? So we have the Book of Mormon and the prophecies of Joseph Smith and our apostolic leaders, but we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus. Or do Mormons believe that those who are not part of the Mormon church are part of the great whore, to use some of the older language of the Mormons, that we are part of the Babylon system. And in fact, we must be baptized as Mormons in order to be accepted by God. What do Mormons actually believe? 866-34-TRUTH. So here's an article I wrote. It was just posted on our Voice of Revolution website. So you can go to voiceofrevolution.com or askdrbrown.org and click on Voice of Revolution. excuse me, it's entitled, Do Mormons Believe That Christianity is a Cult? In the midst of the lively and sometimes heated discussion about Mormonism in recent days, is it a cult? Is it not a cult but still heretical? Is it part of mainstream Christianity? There's one question that no one seems to be asking. Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? Let's remember that Mormonism did not begin as a Reformation movement within the 19th century church, but rather as a repudiation of the church of the day. According to the Book of Mormon itself, 1 Nephi 14:10, there are only two churches. Quote, the one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. For the first Mormons, the devoted followers of Joseph Smith, there was no mistake about what this meant. Those who adhered to their faith, who were part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, belonged to, quote, the Church of the Lamb of God. Everyone else belonged to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. As explained by early Mormon leader George Q. Cannon, 1827-1901, After the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was organized, there were only two churches upon the earth. They were known respectively as the Church of the Lamb of God and Babylon. The various organizations, which are called churches throughout Christendom, as he spelled it, though differing in their creeds and organizations, have one common origin. They belong to Babylon. So, again, I save this topic for this hour because of our broadcast going through Utah, as we have many Mormons that listen to us there. And many have come out of Mormonism or been raised in the midst of this. What's your honest take on this? How does Mormonism view the church? 866-34-TRUTH. More of my article, a few other things I want to get into, but we're going to focus on this first, so stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? I mean, there is this uproar when Pastor Robert Jeffress said that Mormons are a cult. If you read Kingdom of the Cults, the old classic book by Walter Martin, the original Bible Answer Man, before my friend Hank Hanegraaff became Bible Answer Man, Mormonism was viewed as a cult. And then you have people like Professor Richard Mow of, or is it Mow, M-O-U-W, of Fuller Theological Seminary, and he says Mormons are definitely not a cult. Cults don't build colleges. Cults don't have open dialogue with other groups, etc. Are they theologically mainstream? Well, that can be debated. So, you know, there's this whole discussion about this. But my question is, well, what do Mormons believe about those that profess to be born-again Christians? And if Mormons, say, accept me as a fellow brother and sister in Jesus, a fellow brother in Jesus, another one accept as a sister in Jesus, would they say that I don't need to be baptized into the Mormon church in order to be in right relationship with God? And what did the first Mormons believe? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. So let me read a little bit more about this from this article I just wrote. Do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? To this day, if you are a baptized Christian, as one of our radio co-workers called in and pointed out last week from another one of our Salem stations, to this day, if you are a baptized Christian and you join the Mormon church, you are told that you need to be baptized again as a Mormon, even if you were already baptized as an adult believer in Jesus. Obviously, your first baptism doesn't count in the eyes of the LDS church. What does this imply? And if Mormons accept the validity of another Christian's faith, why are they proselytizing that person? I'm not proselytizing other born-again believers. I may be encouraging you to go deeper in the Lord, just like I hope you're encouraging me to go deeper in the Lord, but I'm not trying to win you to the Lord unless I think you're lost. If I was going door-to-door and I met someone that was a born-again believer, if they were Presbyterian, if they were Baptist, if they were part of a house church, if they were charismatic, they were fellow born-again believers, we'd rejoice together, and then I'd go on to get to the next house to try to reach a lost person. If I met a Jehovah's Witness, I would witness to that person as if they needed the Lord because I believe they are in a cult, in a false system, as much as I appreciate their zeal and their consistency in certain ways to live out what they believe. I would say it's part of a cult and it's wrong and they need to come to faith. I would do that. And if I met a Mormon, I would share the gospel with that Mormon as if that person needed to come to faith. Yes, I would. Exactly. So do Mormons believe the same about me? If so, just say so. I'm not going to get upset. Just say so. If you believe that Christianity is a cult, or let's say evangelical born-again Christianity, the Messianic faith, if you believe that's a cult, if you're a Mormon, if you believe it is simply error, even if it's not a cult, well, then go ahead and say so. And if you come out of Mormonism, tell me what you were taught when you were in Mormonism. Tell me what you were taught that might not be politically correct. According to the documentary history of the LDS Church, nothing less than a complete apostasy from the Christian religion would warrant the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Precisely. Why else did Joseph Smith allegedly receive his revelations? It was because all the other churches had departed from the faith. As stated in Joseph Smith History 1:19, in response to Smith's question to the angelic beings about joining a church, I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And their personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt. 866-34-TRUTH. Have those writings now been modified? Have those writings now been changed? Have those writings now been repudiated? Is there further enlightenment that Mormons have? I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm trying to get clarity here. Let's state what we believe clearly. Let's lay it out on the table. If we have differences, let's lay them out so that we can then constructively talk them through. And if you think you need to reach me as a Mormon and I think I need to reach you, you being a Mormon, well then, let's have at it. Let's be honest about it. And therefore, we're all part of one happy family. Well, do I have concerns about what you believe? Do you have concerns about what I believe? 866-34-TRUTH. Nick in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Not Winston-Salem, Utah, but we'll take the call anyway. Thanks for joining.
Yes. My look on it is I do believe that is a cult because of the fact that the way they look at things are they say that God is a glorified man, and so being God being a glorified man, how is he to be saved and have salvation of himself?
All right, so Nick, just to jump in, yeah, I agree with you about that perspective. The question is, do Mormons think that Christianity is a cult?
I believe that they do believe us to be a cult because of the fact that they look at us, in my opinion, they will look at us the same exact way that we look at them, as us being lost as well. Even though, yes, we are in the same body of Christ, they still think us to be lost in the sense of not understanding what the full... what the full testament is according to the Mormon testimony.
Got it. So, right, just as we would view them as a theological cult or in error and therefore not part of the true church, that's how they would view us. And if that was just put on the table, that would make things more clear. Yeah, I see it that way. It seems pretty simple to me, but perhaps Mormonism is changing. Perhaps the LDS Church is departing from some of its earlier judgments. Perhaps there is, quote, further revelation that Mormon leaders are getting. I'm not saying that in a facetious, mocking way. Perhaps there's confusion. Perhaps God is at work. I'm just asking questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we go back to the phones and before I read a bit more of this article, let me remind you where you can get it. That's Voice of Revolution, excuse me, voiceofrevolution.com or askdrbrown.org. Click on Voice of Revolution. You can read the article, Do Mormons Believe Christianity is a Cult? And then recommend it to your friends on Facebook. There's a button to press to do that. And a reminder, we got such a good response to this offer last week that we want to extend it another week, but actually with a slight, interesting, fun twist. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which really is essential reading, friends. Everyone that has the book, has read chapters of it, has read all of it, has been shaken, has been awakened, has been stirred, has come away with, oh my God, I had no idea, and all the more with a burden to pray for those who identify as gay and lesbian and to pray for awakening in America. The book is normally $27.99. It's almost 700 pages, hardcover, and highly recommended to you. However, what we're doing is this. We've reduced the price to $25, we'll sign the book and give you free as a gift my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, America's most famous rabbi. He thought it was our best debate ever on homosexuality. So it's a great deal. We'll pay the postage. You'll be blessed. But call today to order at 1-800-278-9978. That is 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this special offer. Back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, aloha again from Hawaii. We're coming your way live from the KGU Salem Studios in Hawaii. Arrived Saturday night, late my time, but middle of the evening, Hawaii time. And I told the story about my arrival here earlier in the show, just the amazing pickup from the airport by someone that grew up one block from me. Amazingly. Anyway, it is a delight to be with you. One more reminder to all of our friends listening on KGU. We've got our meeting just for listeners tonight. We're going to have a wonderful gathering, going to share with you face-to-face, interact with you, take some of your questions. So just a great opportunity to meet. And then tomorrow night, our pastors rally. So this is the last reminder for our friends here. That's why we're here, to meet with you. But we're asking the question today on the air about Mormonism. Not is Mormonism a cult? That's not our question today. Not is Mormonism mainstream Christian or not? That's not our question. Our question is, do Mormons believe that Christianity is a cult? Do Mormons believe that, we'll say, Bible-based evangelical Christianity is heretical, or that those who hold to that will not be accepted by God, or unless they are baptized as Mormons, that they will not have right standing with God? That's the question. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Andrew, just the reminder, Mormons spelled with two O's, not an O and an A. That's right. We are always teaching here at the Line of Fire. That's absolutely always giving our help and input. Before I go back to your calls, one other news item. Monday is our opportunity to catch up on things that have happened over the weekend, completely unrelated to the subject. But the release of Gilad Shalit by Hamas after 5 years in captivity, a young man, Israeli soldier, captured by Hamas and has been now 5 years in captivity, being released in exchange for over 1,000 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners in Israeli prisons. Now, many of them will be sent outside of Gaza, outside of Judea, Samaria, so the so-called West Bank, Gaza, they'll be sent out from there and will not be able to come back into the land of Israel, at least legally. But many of these people are mass murderers of Israelis. And there is this is a really painful time in Israel, a really traumatic time in the nation. And you can understand. I mean, there are people who say, look, my family members were killed. My wife and children were slaughtered by this man. People in our neighborhood were killed. This person was a mastermind behind the deaths of scores of Israelis. And now they're being released. We want to see Gilad Shalit come out, but this is crazy. I mean, could you imagine if someone kidnapped one of our soldiers, and in order to get that person's freedom, we had to release from prison hundreds and hundreds of terrorists who had taken American lives and maybe plotted the destruction of many soldiers and civilians. Can you imagine the upheaval? So it's a very, very difficult, sensitive time. And then it comes during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is to be a time of celebration. So obviously my sympathies are with seeing Gilad Shalit freed. And Israel has always bent over backwards in terms of the value of a human life and freeing others that they can, but then doesn't it downplay the lives of those who have been killed? So I don't have a simple answer to this other than to say we really need to pray at a time when so many Israeli hearts are ripped open, and this is such a time of upheaval in the Middle East. Just pray once more, God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done in the Middle East. God, bring about your redemption. All right. We're going to come back with your calls. Do Mormons believe Christianity is a cult? You can read my article on it. Just post it on voiceofrevolution.com or askdrbrown.org. Click on Voice of Revolution. Read the article. It's a short read. Recommend it to your friends. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. What do Mormons think about Christianity? What does Orthodox Mormonism, Orthodox LDS doctrine, teach about those who profess to be followers of Jesus, follow the scriptures, have given their lives to him, have put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, but reject the Mormon Church, reject the Book of Mormon, reject Joseph Smith? Do Mormons believe Christianity is a cult? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let's go right to Salt Lake City, starting with Richard. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hey, it's good talking to you.
Sure thing.
I wanted to go ahead and say I'm a born-again Christian, been officially since about 2008. I left Mormonism about 2006, embracing Christianity. But how come I know about this is my wife, because I became a Christian, my wife left me and wanted to divorce me. I had actually found out the reason why she did is because, you know, she had some church leaders that, you know, were consoling her and made her believe that I joined a cult. You know, something that was completely outside of, you know, the belief of Jesus Christ and that me not being a Mormon anymore would hinder her progression there in the celestial kingdom and their thinking, you know. And I think that there's personally a lot of Mormons out there that they don't really understand that the Jesus Christ that they go ahead and embrace and the Jesus Christ that, you know, I've learned to know and love are two different.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown, you know, looking at the Bible and looking at the history and seeing all, you know, that there is and proof of all these things, you know, of God is right and true. And I can't say the same thing about Mormonism.
Right. Yeah. And so you're coming from a unique perspective. I'm sorry to hear about the things you have passed through as a consequence of your faith, but it happens to so many when they leave one religious faith and put their trust in Jesus. So may the Lord's grace continue to prevail in your life. And thanks, Richard, for sharing that. So here his wife no longer is going to stay with him once he becomes a born-again Christian. He's left Mormonism. That would be a strong statement, wouldn't it? 866-34-TRUTH. We will stay in Salt Lake City, Utah, with Fred. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Very well, thanks.
I'm a Christian. I'm not a Mormon. I talk to a lot of Mormons. They think they have the whole gospel, you know, the horse's mouth, as it will, and that we're just deceived. I don't know if they'd use the word cult, but I think that a lot of Christian churches are, because they're really not following the word. I'd like your comment on this scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, it says whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If you have a church that only has one pastor or has a senior pastor...
Hey, tell you what. Hey, Fred, I'm very happy to have this discussion another day about what's practiced in the church and is it right or wrong. Totally happy to have this discussion. Totally happy to have the discussion about our house church is the right model. A moment ago, I was looking at a newsletter from one of my colleagues who's planted a new church in our area, which is total house church based. And their meetings would flow very much according to that 1 Corinthians 14, 26 model. But it's just not the topic of today. So by all means, you can call that on a Friday, and we can discuss it then. So I'm totally happy to discuss this and weigh in on it, not avoiding it in the least. It's just completely off topic right now, so I'm going to stay on topic. But thank you for calling 866-34-TRUTH. Greg in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello, Greg.
Hello.
All right, tell you what, let's Andrew, let's see if we can get Greg's connection a little better there. Sean in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very well, thanks.
Good. This is an interesting topic because, one, I was born and raised a Jehovah's Witness and left a few years ago. But this topic is one that's very important to me, trying to determine if I was in a cult or the Christian churches were the cult.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this topic on Mormonism is interesting because my friend just came to visit me, a childhood friend, and she's a Mormon. We were discussing this literally 30 minutes ago. And I would say this, I think that like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormon Church, from what I understand, we discussed, feel that the apostasy absolutely occurred. It occurred right away back in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that's, and you know this already, but everything that's occurred since then, the churches are, you know, misled. They're under paganism and they're Satan's church, basically.
Yeah, and just to jump in for 1 second, I had sure. read in the first half hour, which some of our listeners might not have heard, some of my article.
I apologize. I didn't hear that.
No. That's why I'm saying it. In other words, I know that we pick up quite a few stations this last half hour. So for their benefit, the very things you're saying, in some other words, are in my article, Do Mormons Believe Christianity is a Cult? Namely, that the whole reason that Joseph Smith allegedly received his revelations was because the other churches had departed from the faith. In other words, yeah. It wasn't a Reformation movement within the true church.
No.
You know, like you'll have Baptists or Presbyterians or different ones had movements or change movements or Reformation movements within the body. This was something that rejected all professing churches. So Joseph Smith History 119 says this, and my appreciation to my good friend, Dr. James White, who, while ministering in Australia, shot me a quick note with a reference to his website at Alpha and Omega Ministries with a bunch of related quotes. Someone else sent me a link to MRM, which is Mormon Research Ministries, with similar quotes. But it says in Joseph Smith History, in response to his question to the angelic beings about joining a church, quote, I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt. So that's why Mormonism was birthed, because allegedly the rest of the church was of the devil, was Babylon, and that those of his followers were now the reconstituted true church. So back to you.
Yes, and that's absolutely accurate. I won't focus on the Jehovah's Witness thing, which I know much, much more accurately, but it's very similar. And the premise is just what you stated, that that God in the last days, basically, has a new revelation to clean up and correct the apostasy. And that there is salvation only through one organization or place. And, of course, they feel they're Christian. And they're and this is my debate, but that's another issue, whether was I a Christian or was I not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that it's very similar. The Mormons have a very strong feeling that there was, it's not just a subtle idea. They feel that Joseph Smith really was visited by angels and had, you know, revelation, direct speaking from angels and God to Joseph Smith. And
right.
a little different than the Watchtower. They had the same desire to find truth. I think it was a good motive, perhaps, but they didn't feel they had some visiting angel. But
Greg, let me just say this again. Sean, there is something
okay.
that's different with Mormonism than even Jehovah's Witnesses, in that Jehovah's Witnesses will have their interpretations of Scripture, and you have to use their Guide to Bible Understanding, etc., and they've got their own very poor translation of the Bible, and yet they're just using the Bible. They are not saying we have an extra book on top of it. So that's a big difference there. 866-34-TRUTH. Daryl in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown. Daryl,
yeah, you're on the air.
Love your show. Just to chime in, when you're doing the word Orthodox,
you know, that made a big difference to me. And if someone's an Orthodox believer, of course they believe that Christianity is a cult. But just like Christianity has a conservative and a liberal wing, I think that Mormonism and most other faiths experience the same thing, where yeah. the liberal wing may be accepted of Christians as being believers as they are, whereas the conservative wing absolutely will reject Christians as being true believers.
Yeah, Daryl, you know? I'm so glad you called to make that observation. You're absolutely right. Just like Muslims, that the very liberal Muslims are much more accepting and we all work together, and the real hardcore Muslims who really believe this stuff say, no, it's our way or the highway, basically. So absolutely right, Daryl. Thanks for making the observation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
According to Brigham Young, the Christian world I discovered was like the captain and crew of a vessel on the ocean without a compass and tossed to and fro whithersoever the wind listed to blow them. When the light came to me, I saw that all the so-called Christian world was groveling in darkness. According to Mormon Apostle Orson Pratt, 1811-1881, the Roman Catholic, Greek, and Protestant Church is the great corrupt ecclesiastical power represented by Great Babylon. He said, both Catholics and Protestants are nothing less than the whore of Babylon, whom the Lord denounces by the mouth of John the Revelator as having corrupted all the earth by their fornications and wickedness. Have Mormons today moved away from some of that teaching? Is it just a strategy? Is it deceptive to say, no, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, we just have more light to shed on things, or are they modifying? 866-34-TRUTH. Jeanette in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Jeanette. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was born and raised Mormon, and my whole family is Mormon, and they don't believe it's but you've got it exactly right. They believe that the Christianity apostated and that they that we don't have the truth anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm a born-again Christian, and, I know that now to be a lie, but all my life I grew up believing that my Christian friends were actually lost.
Now, were you, Jeanette, were you told that you needed to approach them differently, that there was strategy in terms of what you should and shouldn't say about this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't, you be careful about not denouncing the Bible, even though they believe the Book of Mormon to be more correct than the Bible. They teach you to not tell them that they don't have the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do is they want to get you to become a member, and then they focus on the other aspects, like
right.
You don't want to tell a Christian person that you can become a god.
Right. Once you get more, quote, initiated. Hey, Jeanette, thank you for weighing in. Again, that's how I've understood things from those I've interacted with over the years, and I don't specialize in this. And if you're a Mormon and you take issue with this, please call. That's why I saved this discussion for this hour today, because of all of our listeners in the greater Utah area in particular on our Truth Radio Network station out there. But thank you for weighing in. Do I have time to get to another call or two? Yeah, let's go back to Greg in Portland. Thanks for calling. Yep, you're on the air, sir.
The history of Mormonism is really kind of unique. I think a guest that you should probably have on would be Sandra Tanner. She's a great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, okay? And they've done more work on this than anybody in the world. She's a born-again Christian. And when they talk about Mormonism being a cult, I'm not going to say it's a cult, but they have cult-like fashions in their religion. Actually, the first name of the church was actually the Church of God. And old Joe Boy had a revelation. He would change it to the Church of Jesus Christ. Then he had another revelation where it would be the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. So they continually go through this of having revelation.
Yeah, absolutely. And the history of that, again, my question, and thank you, Greg, for weighing in. The history is clear to me. Just the simple fact that someone comes along and says, I now have new books of Revelation, and I've received it. Why do you need it? Well, this was recovered. We didn't originally have it. Okay. Then the fact of the matter is, you're saying that something is missing from our Bible on such a foundational level that these other books, this Book of Mormon, sets the record straight. There's no question that it began as not a Reformation movement within the church, but a corrective to an alleged apostate church that was the Church of the Devil, Babylon. Are Mormons moving away from that? Could it be God working where they're getting away from their roots and now coming back to the true gospel? Or is this just a subtle tactic to try to bring more people in? We're not arguing about the family values of Mormons and being religious and devoted people. That's not the discussion. We're talking about how Mormonism views the church. Don't have time. Tell you what. Let me grab one more call. All right, Daryl in Philly. All right, Daryl wanted to weigh in. But tell you what, maybe I can get this last one. Trinity in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We got to go quick, but please give us your perspective.
Is you talking to me?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, this is Trinity. I just wanted to say I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we actually do not believe that other Christianity groups are a cult. We work close hand-in-hand in the community with them, and by the definition of Christianity, I would assume that you would believe that, you know, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and as well as mine. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just ask this, Trinity. If I reject Joseph Smith, I say I don't believe he's a prophet, and I don't believe the Book of Mormon is part of God's Word, you look at me as a fellow believer in Jesus, saved, forgiven, just as you are. I don't need to be baptized into your church to be right with God. Is that correct?
I'm not exactly sure on the answer of that. If I could give you a better answer, I would. I'm actually a really young guy, so forgive me if I don't have all the answers. But
all right, tell you what, Trinity, because we're right at the end of the show. Could you go and talk to the leaders in your church, all right, and ask them that question, that you're talking to this guy on the radio, and I don't believe Joseph Smith is a true prophet. I reject the Book of Mormon as God's word, and I'm baptized as an adult believer, but not in the Mormon church. Am I a fellow brother, sister with you in right status with God? I'll be with him forever. Get the answer, and then call me back another day. If you can call on a Friday, I'll look for your name, Trinity in Rock Hill, South Carolina, all right? And I'll remember it. Andrew will make a note of it, and we will we'll put you on the line to get that question answered. Okay, we are carrying over a resource offer from last week, but with an even better addition to it. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which if you don't have, how can I urge you strongly enough to get it and read it? I worked on it on and off for 6 years because it was so critical to get this message out. We've reduced the price. We'll sign it for you or whoever you ask us to sign it for and give you with it free, after reducing the price, my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, America's most famous rabbi. He thought it was the best debate we ever had on homosexuality. I'm telling you, it's lively, eye-opening. Both of these resources will pay the postage for just $25, but call today to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order online at askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, let us be people of the Word of God. Let us know what we believe. Let us know why we believe what we do believe. And let us be devoted to God and His Word in such a way that the world, the Mormons, everyone will know what it means to be a follower of Jesus.